Matthew chapter 5 is our text, Matthew chapter 5, and I won't have you stand tonight. We're just going to look at one verse. And so Matthew chapter 5, and we've been in a series, started a few weeks ago, a series on the Sermon on the Mount. Some people call it the Beatitudes, and I've been saying the Beatitudes, meaning that if you're going to do the things that Christ wants you to as a disciple, you've got to be the right person first. And so the right attitudes to have, the Beatitudes, these are the things we're looking at so far. We've looked at how Jesus said you've got to be humble, and that if you're going to be used or be a disciple, you've got to be poor in spirit. You've got to be not about yourself, but you've got to be surrendered to the Lord. Be humble. He also, a few weeks ago, we talked about how we need to be repentant, and how blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And our mentality about sin should be a repentant spirit. Now, we don't justify it. We don't shift blame. We don't excuse it. We don't ignore it. But we're willing to mourn over our sin and view sin like God sees sin. We also then, last week, looked at being meek, being gentle with each other. And that there are times where we can do something in our own power, or we have the resources to do what we want to do in certain things, but to be meek is power under control, where we don't just do what we could, we do what we should. And so the Beatitudes, be humble, be repentant, be gentle. And then tonight is Matthew 5:6. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." If I was to summarize, we've got be humble, we've got be repentant, we've got be gentle, then tonight I would say be hungry. Be hungry. Who's hungry right now? You can raise your hand. It's perfectly fine. I was assuming most in these first few rows would say, yes, I'm hungry right now. If you could eat anything right now, what would it be? Okay, I heard pizza. I hear seafood somewhere. Okay, what else? What would you eat if you could eat anything right now? I want you to be interactive because I feel like we're a little bit sleepy tonight. What would you eat? Huh? Chick-fil-A. That's right. He's right with the Lord. There you go. God's chicken. Okay. What? Steak. That might be what I would eat, right? What's that? Tacos? No, that was yesterday. Sorry. This is Wednesday. There's all kinds of things that can come to our minds. And if you're hungry, I just want to apologize for doing that to you, because now it's on your mind what you would eat if you could. And sometimes I know it's hard to concentrate when you're hungry. I remember in high school, I had a class right before lunch, and I had late lunch, which is terrible, because my class was on the second floor of the high school, right above the cafeteria, and all those smells would just come wafting into Spanish class, which is why I can't speak Spanish, by the way, because I was so distracted the whole year. I was hungry, and you know, shopping while hungry will cause you to make some really bad choices, won't it? You know, being hungry can make you do some strange things. I mean, just ask a pregnant lady if you've ever. This applies, by the way, to our church right now, because we've got a number of those that are expecting, and I've heard of strange pregnancy cravings. Like, I've heard of ice cream, which is good, with pickles. That doesn't seem to go well, but maybe some of you say, no, it's a good combo. You should try it. I've heard of brownies with mustard. I mean, what are we thinking here? But hunger does some strange things to us. And I know that's a different situation, but, you know, and there's a big difference, though, between being hungry or having an urge to eat something because you're just hungry after skipping a meal. There's a big difference between that and the hunger that comes when you're actually starving. You know, we don't really understand that concept very much. Jesus uses the concept of hunger to talk about discipleship, and he compares a person's hunger and a person's thirst to how much a disciple ought to desire righteousness. You know, righteousness, or to be righteous, simply means to be right according to God's law, and that really should be our desire. There should be no desire in our lives to that any stronger than to be right with our God. And Jesus uses hunger and thirst to let them know just how strongly they should want to be right with God, just how much they should desire to be right with their Father. They understood true hunger, and they understood thirst on a different level than you and I do. They knew what it was like to be hungry and thirst for real. You know, they lived day to day, many of them, and that they would work, and then that money would pay for the food that they would eat that day. So Jesus says, you know, the way that you feel when you've eaten or you haven't eaten and you can't buy food, the thirst that you feel after a hard day's work and you can't find fresh water, we take for granted fresh water, that you can just find it anywhere. You know, he says that's how you ought to desire to be right with your Father. And not like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they just go do something and they think that's righteousness. No, Jesus says this righteousness starts on the inside. It starts with a desire. It starts with a motivation. Those that are hungry, those that thirst for righteousness. And don't you see how that's different than the people that just go do something? No, he says, no, you ought to want to do something. That's a different righteousness than the Pharisees had. And then the outcome is simple. It says, and this is very basic, it says if we hunger and thirst after that kind of righteousness, godly righteousness, then we will be filled with it and will be blessed because of it. So if we long for and desire for God and the things of God, he says, I'll satisfy you. Blessed means happy. So let's simplify it then and say this. God will reward the disciple who longs for him with inward contentment. God will reward the disciple who longs for him with inward contentment. That God will give us inward contentment if we will seek after him and seek him above all things. Now, I wonder how much that we as God's people truly seek and desire God. And honestly, if all I did was ask that question tonight, we all have plenty probably of conviction already. How strong is your desire for God? How consistent is your desire for God? How genuine is your desire for him? Because if you think about hunger and thirst, they don't pop up once a week. I mean, let's just be serious and honest about it. Hunger and thirst, that's something we constantly feel. And the older you get, maybe you're not as hungry and thirsty all the time, but I think about these young people right here in the first few rows. I mean, they're hungry and thirsty after a few minutes of not eating. I mean, their metabolism's going strong, and they're, you know, we eat, and just not long after, I'll come in the kitchen and find Jace looking in the pantry again. I'm like, we just ate. He's hungry again. You know, that's a hunger and thirst. We understand hunger and thirst. And if we don't deal with those, we risk our lives. Now, again, I'm not saying that you know, as Americans, we truly understand this. There are times when maybe somebody does, if they don't have enough, or they're jobless, or they don't have the money to go buy food. I understand that does happen in our country. But for most of us, we're not talking about, oh man, it's been 6 hours since I ate. No, when he says hunger and thirst, he's talking about that feeling you have when you're starving, and you know if you don't do something about it, your health is at risk. Because that's how Jesus says we ought to desire to be right with God. Not once a week, and not when it's convenient, not just because other people expect us to be, but because that we inwardly want him so badly that if we don't have him, we feel ready to die. He said, well, now you're going way overboard. No, he's talking about hunger and thirst. He's talking about how we should desire God and recognize this, spiritually speaking, if we don't feed ourselves, it's just as risky to our spiritual lives as not eating or not drinking is to our physical lives. And here's the big idea to give you tonight. Hunger and thirst are the result, though, of being empty. And you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I want to build on that and help you to see this. Hunger and thirst, I mean, naturally, they're the result of being empty. The reason you're hungry is because you don't have anything in your stomach. The reason you're thirsty is because you haven't drunk in a while. A person, they say, can survive up to 40 days without food. And that sounds like a long time to me. But hunger pangs start just hours after you don't eat. I know that. You know, when the stomach is empty for long enough, it lets you know. Thirst, our bodies need healthy fluid to operate. A person can survive about 100 hours without something to drink, about 4 days. If it's hot, it's less than that. And in both of those cases, hunger and thirst result from something that's missing. Emptiness. And spiritually, it's the same thing is true. Emptiness makes a person hungry or thirsty. And you say, what do you mean spiritually? Well, God made us that way. Meaning that our ultimate satisfaction can only be found in a relationship with God. I mean, Adam and Eve, they were created for the purpose of fellowship with God. And then sin came along, and the distance between man and God was created. And there's a vacuum, there's emptiness. And maybe man doesn't admit it. Maybe the lost won't admit it, or the atheist, or the secularist. Maybe they won't admit it, but there's a vacuum, and they feel it. And the only thing that can fill the void is a relationship with God. But oftentimes, rather than going back to the source of what can actually bring fulfillment, mankind pursues all kinds of other things to fill the void. Materialism. And you say, well, you know, I don't see what's wrong with having more. I'm not talking about having more. I'm talking about wanting more that to fill the void that's missing. I'm talking about those that think if I just get more, it will satisfy me. Money is the same way. Some people, they pursue a relationship. Some people pursue pleasure, and that's what they try to fill the void with. Some turn to substances. Some turn to alcohol. Some turn to drugs. Some turn to entertainment. Some say, well, my career is what will satisfy me, or this hobby will satisfy me. You know, you name it, and man has tried it. But nothing fills the void, the vacuum in our lives like a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And when you don't have it, you're empty, hungry, you're thirsty. That's why people come to Christ in salvation, because they've searched everywhere else and they've tried everything else and nothing else works. And that's why Jesus calls himself the bread of life. That's why he calls himself the living water, because he's the only one that can satisfy us. And he uses those terms to help us understand, because we understand hunger and thirst. And he's saying you should have the same desire for a relationship with me that you have when you're starving. Because a relationship with God does for us spiritually what bread and water do for us when we're hungry and thirsty. And if you're saved, you have discovered the contentment that comes through Jesus Christ alone. I hope you have. And by the way, tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ and there's a void, there's emptiness, he's the only one that can fill it. And you must confess your sin, place your faith in him alone for salvation, and you will discover the rest that we talked about in that hymn tonight. Praise the Lord for him being willing and able to fill the void. So notice, though, how Christ uses the idea of emptiness. And this is really the point that I'm making tonight. Notice this progression. Look at verse 3 again. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So to be poor in spirit, if someone is poor, their pocket is empty of what? Okay, if you're poor, your pocket is empty of what? Money, just like mine is. Poor in spirit. It means that there's no pride there. That means you're empty of yourself. It means that you're empty and to the point where you recognize your sense of helplessness, your inability with God, that you must have him or you've got nothing. The idea is that we see ourselves for who we are compared to God, and we recognize and realize we really need him. That's poor in spirit. So we empty our lives of dependence on self and lean wholly on him. Verse 4, what does verse 4 say? "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." This refers to our response to sin, that when we sin, We recognize our sin offends God, that we have broken his law, and that we are guilty before him, and that we should mourn over that offense. We should be contrite about that sin. We should be repentant. Instead of making sin about us, we empty ourselves of pride, and we mourn over the effects of sin. Verse 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You know, meek isn't weak. It's power under control. It means that we choose to be gentle even though we have the power to. So again, the idea is if I have power, then I'm holding power, and I can make a choice to treat somebody a certain way and treat them like a condescending person or to treat them with humility. And so what I have to do, though, is when I'm meek, I take the power that I have to treat somebody a way that I want to treat them, and I set that aside. I empty myself of meekness, of power to be meek. So when you start thinking about the progression here, you recognize that Jesus Christ is talking about emptying yourself. He's talking about being a disciple and how being a disciple means that you choose to empty yourself of the things that you are, of your pride and of your arrogance and of your complacency about sin and the power, the control that you want, that you empty yourself of those things. Understand then, the first trait of discipleship is really this, Jesus saying, if you want to be a genuine disciple, you have to be empty of yourself. Deny your desires. Resist your pride. Be humble when you sin. Submit your life to God, even though you can do what you want to, doing what you should. You know, this is the life of a disciple. This is what following Christ looks like. It starts with saying no to yourself. Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And you know what's interesting is, I used this example in the college and career class the other day, is if we truly went by Jesus Christ's definition of following him, being a disciple, I probably wouldn't ask him to build our church website. Because you think about church websites and it's all about, here's what's in it for you. Come here and we've got this for you. We've got this program. I'm not saying it's wrong to advertise the positives, but let's be honest, very often when we're talking about discipleship, we emphasize the positives and we skip over the fact that Jesus says, if you're going to come after me, your life is probably going to be not about yourself at all. It's not really about you. I mean, if Jesus built our website, it wouldn't probably look like a lot of church websites. Because very often we make discipleship all about a consumer mentality. And Jesus says, no, actually it's all about saying no to yourself. And recognize this, that the emptying process that he mentions, being poor in spirit and mourning over our sin and being meek, those things have to happen before we can enjoy or experience verse 6 when he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Meaning this, in the same way that hunger and thirst happen because we're empty of food and drink, hunger and thirst for God happen when we are empty of ourselves. See, when we realize just how mighty he is and how sinful we are, it should result in us being hungry and thirsty for that. Recognizing I'm nothing like him and I need him and I am helpless and I want him. I want a relationship with him. I don't want what I can provide. I need what he provides. But we have to be empty. Listen, we have to be empty before we can be hungry and thirsty. And here's our problem, I believe, is that we don't desire God like we should, because we're not first empty of ourselves. And I would submit to you that the reason that your desire to know God and to have his righteousness, it's not because you're just distracted, and it's not just because, you know, you've lost sight of what matters. No, it's probably because there's not been an emptying of yourself. There's not been a void. There's not been a vacuum that needs to be filled, because you're filling it with all kinds of things, but they're not the right things. And the reason we're not hungry is because we're not empty. You don't want to eat when you're full. The same thing applies spiritually. You know, when you're full of self, and listen, I'm saying when you're full, I'm saying I'm putting myself in the same category. When we're full of ourselves and our sin and our pride and our agendas, we're not going to be hungry for a relationship with God. And we're so busy pursuing other things like money and material and career and stuff to satisfy us, we're not going to be passionate about our pursuit of a relationship with Christ. And it could be that somebody in this room tonight, and the chances are high, the percentages, that somebody in this room tonight doesn't have an appetite for God. You don't really have a strong passion for His righteousness. And maybe you're just not figuring out. You're like, I don't know. My want to is broken, and I don't really know why. Well, if we're going to follow the train of thought of Jesus Christ, it is likely the problem that we don't desire Him is coming because we are full of self. There's not an emptiness there that we need Him to fill because we're filling it ourselves. We're not hungry because we're not empty. And it could be that our hunger for God needs to start with an emptying of self tonight. To humble ourselves and say, I repent of my sins. I choose to submit to You instead of trying to control everything about my own life. I give up my plans. I give up my purposes. I surrender myself. I surrender all. Like we heard, I surrender myself to Your agenda, Father. I empty me of me. And only when that becomes our daily mindset and our constant prayer do we begin to be empty. And then, we have a desire to fill the void with what needs to be there, and that is our relationship with Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God. What we discover is that emptiness causes us to seek that which can fill us. But you have to be empty before you can get full. See, sometimes you eat something and it's a one-off. You know that, what I mean by that? That it was fine, you ate it, but I probably won't have it again. Some people think that about sushi. I don't know, I like sushi, but a lot of people don't. I know lots of people that say, I tried it and I just can't stomach it. No, not again. Some people are like that with, I don't know, like lutefisk. I figured that would resonate a little bit more up here. And maybe if it's not the taste, it's the texture. Turn some people off. If you like lutefisk, I'm not even saying I don't like it. I'm just saying some people out there don't. Some people don't like it. It's a one-off, meaning they don't crave it. They wouldn't have it every day. But realize, understand this. We're talking about hunger and thirst. That's not ever how it works in your relationship with God. Because once you realize how satisfying and fulfilling a relationship with God and seeking His righteousness is you can't help but go back over and over and over again. It's like discovering your perfect meal. We talked about it earlier, okay? I'm kind of with Sherilyn. If I was eating anything I wanted right now, I'd have a steak. Okay, medium rare to medium. A baked potato. Texas Roadhouse baked potatoes. I don't know what they do to the skins. It's probably not legal, so I'm not asking. Those rolls. Yeah, now everyone, we're going to have a East Side night at Texas Roadhouse. I always start with a salad because they've got good salad over there. You know, once you find what hits the spot, nothing else really does it for you like that. That's God. That's His righteousness. Because there's nothing like the happiness, the blessedness that comes when you're exactly where you ought to be with Him. And that's why Jesus said, blessed are they which do, perpetually do, continuously, that's the verb, continuously go back for more and more and more, because the more you have, the more you want. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Once you get a taste of being right with Him, you continue to be hungry for more. In Jeremiah it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And if you will be empty of self and seek the Lord with all your heart, He guarantees inward contentment. That is a promise. You know, IHOP has the slogan. I mean, IHOP, it's fine. It's no frying pan. That's what we know that for sure. You know, IHOP has the slogan, come hungry, leave happy. And I'm not sure how much I believe that about IHOP. Jeremy's passionate about that. He's a frying pan man. I'm not sure if I believe that about IHOP, but I know it's true about the Lord. Come hungry, leave happy. Every single time. And so tonight, I just want to ask, how's your appetite for the things of God? If it's not strong, maybe then you haven't emptied yourself of something. Maybe there's a sin in your heart, and it's confusing you, making you think that it's filling a void that it really isn't. Maybe there's some priority in your life that you've let rise to the level that's above the Lord and you don't realize it. Maybe it's a distraction. Maybe you're just busy. Maybe your desire just isn't strong. Well, the emptier you are of self, the greater your desire for God will be. David wrote, as the hart or the deer panteth for the after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I imagine David wrote that at a time of real emptiness. Because most of his life as an adult, he was running from Saul, trying to figure out what he had done wrong. And at those moments when he was emptiest, that's when he was hungriest. And then those moments that he sought God with all his heart, that's when he was most content. That's the promise. So I'm just asking tonight, when's the last time you were truly satisfied in your relationship with God? The great thing about this is all you have to do is come to him in humility. That contrite spirit, he responds really well to it. He wants to dwell with you, he says, and be close to you, to let go of something that's all about us, and God will promise to fill us when our hearts are focused on seeking him with all of our hearts. So tonight, would you consider making your pursuit of God as consistent as your pursuit of food and drink? That's a big ask, isn't it? Because food is a daily part of our lives. Drinking, you've got to take a drink. Those are a big part of our daily lives multiple times a day, which is that then, I'm going back to it, why I believe that Jesus uses this idea, because pursuing God is as essential to our spiritual health as pursuing food and drinks to our physical health. And most of us, let's just be honest, most of us are more consistent about physical sustenance than we are our spiritual sustenance. And maybe tonight we need to ask God to flip that in our hearts. Father, help me to be more passionate about spiritual sustenance than I am about physical sustenance. And the great thing is, I believe it can change with some humility. We just have to empty ourselves first, and then fill the void with the one thing that we know can actually satisfy. And that is Jesus Christ and the righteousness of his Father. Let's stand together. We'll have a verse of invitation and maybe just evaluate our desire for God tonight. Where are we? How strongly do we pursue him? When's the last time we strongly pursued him? Are we as consistent about seeking him as we are our daily food and drink? Because that's the idea that Jesus Christ gives us. So let's pray. Father, we humble ourselves before you, empty ourselves of us, and ask you to fill us in a way that only you can. In Jesus' name, as we enter this invitation, we pray that you bless us. In his name we pray. Amen.